Welcome everyone to this new episode of Sales Spin, where we bring the top people in sales in the world and break down the learnings for anyone to understand. Whether you're trying to get into sales or trying to improve your game, there's something for everyone. Our today's guest is the outbound sales guy, aka Martin MacArthur. Martin and I know each other for a little over 3 years now, and never ever has he turned down a request to help me or anybody else I have recommended or I know. I'm a little jealous of him. He owns a 40-foot Sea Ray boat. He has given more to the sales community than he has taken. He recently talked about how his blindness has helped him become aware of his surroundings and become an active listener on another podcast. Do check that podcast out. It's not by me, it's by somebody else I really admire. Today he talks about how to create a killer outbound playbook on SalesPin. Let's hear from Martin. Sales engagement automation systems are critical for any sales organization to achieve that excellence. But at the same time, it is a complex, tedious, and expensive process for any sales organization to implement it. Sometimes it can end in a failure too, and you have to start all over again. To fix this problem, Playbook.ai, our current sponsor, has introduced a program for SaaS and enterprise technology startups called the Sales Excellence Program. It is the most effective, fastest, and risk-free way to deploy a sales engagement automation system in your organization to drive that growth and drive revenue excellence. None of the top sales engagement platforms give you a free trial, at least most of them. But in the Sales Excellence Program, Playbook.ai customer success team not only gives you the free and unlimited access to all the features for 6 weeks, they also do the heavy lifting of implementing a sales engagement system and provide you with advice on what best practices you should follow when creating your sales playbook. To join the Sales Excellence Program, all you have to do is visit playbook.ai/SEP, Sales Engagement Platform, SEP, and type R, followed by my last name, WADHWA, when the request invitation form asks you for the name of the accelerator. Alrighty, well, Martin, welcome to the Sales Spin Podcast. Really lucky to have you, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate you you having me on. We've been connected and we've chatted a ton in the past, so it's great to be a part of this platform that you've got going.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I think it's been like more than 3 years since we've been connected. And I remember you have contributed to number of instances where I've come to you for help and you've never, told me no. And I think it's you, Jackson, a lot of other people who have never said no. So kudos to you, man.
Yeah, thank you.
So Martin, you have been known as the outbound guy, you know, that's your hashtag as well. I'm guessing, right?
That's correct. Yeah. The outbound sales guy.
Right. So, and a lot of my audience who listen to the podcast are sales leaders, of course, young SDRs, and one day there might be few who are actually in the process of becoming the SDR leaders, sales leaders who will be eventually writing the whole, you know, outbound playbook. So today I was thinking if you could walk me through the process so that our audience can learn how to create that killer outbound playbook, which has given you success. And I was thinking if you could start with as simple as targeting, like how to go about it, how to, you know, the tools for list building and the mistakes to avoid.
Yeah, that's for anyone that's really followed me in the past, mm-hmm. they'll notice that I'm a huge champion for making sure that your targeting or that your target is spot on. Mm-hmm. Because I've always been from the thought that if you're missing on the targeting, everything else is going to fail and you've just wasted time, energy, financial resources, everything else on a process that's not working because you're not getting in front of the right people. So with that said, the data vendor category, targeting category, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. it's quite popular, right? It's there's a plethora of vendors and tools in the space, and there's a couple that I like, and it's not I'm not trying to be hard on the data vendors, but right. No vendor their data, none of their data is 100% accurate. It's just hard to do so because, mm-hmm. especially over the lot, like we've experienced the last, two and a half years, a lot of transition. People are shifting roles, jobs, companies, mm-hmm. what have you. So for the data to be accurate, it's nearly impossible. So what I like to do is I like to use one, I like to use about three different tools. One being Zoom Info. I think that's a great tool. If you're looking at the price point, it's one of the higher priced vendors in the category, but it does provide a lot of value in what you're paying for and a lot of great data information, whether it's at a firmographic, technographic, revenue standpoint, what have you. And then I like to supplement with, maybe Seamless AI, Apollo IO, someone like that, right? Because they're just to kind of fill in whatever gaps, because maybe one vendor has more mobile dials than another, better email addresses, vice versa, right? So mm-hmm. just supplementing that. And then lastly, using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. So because LinkedIn, it always seems to be the best source of truth, because what happens when someone gets a new role, right? The first thing they do is they update their LinkedIn profile.
Right.
So that those are the three main functions or core aspects that you really want to dial into in terms of the tools. And then when it comes to like kind of the sourcing and so forth, a lot of folks will like, how big is our total addressable market?
Right.
Which is one way to look at it, right? But why not break that down into like micro segments, so mm-hmm. into chunks, so that you're not purchasing, let's say, 2,000 records or 5,000 records or whatever it is, mm-hmm. putting those into your sequencer or your CRM or what have you, and then not able to, if you're a small, you're a small team or just one individual that's prospecting, it's going to take you a long time to get through those prospects. So mm-hmm. do it kind of in batches so that, you're focusing more on the quality aspect and less on quantity.
Got it. I think my thoughts are in line with exactly what you said. I'm not sure if you touched upon or I probably missed it. Pardon my listening skills. I think, let's say if I were a business, starting my engine today, I might also want to look at, while before, before I, and I do have great admiration for all these data sets, right, data tools. I think one of the things which I have realized after working with tons of different companies is there might be a possibility that none of these data tools might be fit for you. You might work for industry, your company, the kind of prospects you're targeting, they might not be on any of the data tool sets.
That's right. Yep.
Right. So you might first want to see, what kind of market are you really going after? If you are, let's say, going after, for example, in my current company, right, we go after, a lot of e-commerce retailers, and a lot of these people are not active on LinkedIn, and a lot of these details are not even available on Zoom Info or other tools. So you might have to take the route of, finding an agency who can scrape that data for you. Just in addition to what you just said.
And that's a great point, because you need to identify, who is our market, who's mm-hmm. our best fit customers, and then are we gonna be able to find these people on mm-hmm. this platform? If not, then why are we throwing money at it?
Exactly,
just to be a waste, right? It's a great point that you make, and you really have to understand who do you want to go after. And that's always a tough process as well, right? Because sometimes it can be very clear who's a good fit. And then other mm-hmm. times it's like, okay, I think this might be a good fit, until you actually get into some conversations and start talking about some problems and so forth, you may find out, oh no, this actually isn't these types of prospects aren't a good fit. We need to readjust the target.
Totally. So let's assume that, you know, there is somebody who is listening to the podcast. He's like a first-time SDR leader, okay? So he understood, of course, they kind of understood that they have to first understand their target market and accordingly buy the tool. They got the tool, you know, they have the data. Can they include somebody else in this process, or do you recommend, you know, doing this on their own, the whole, you know, data building process?
No, I would. So for me, one of the things I hate doing is building lists, because I find it to be such a time consuming aspect. Mm-hmm. That's taking me away from other efforts, right? Away from prospecting, away from selling. And I remember a few years ago, I'm sure the stats have changed, but I remember Salesforce came in with their state of sales report, and it was like 60 some odd percent of representatives are wasting time building, you know, on non-sales activities like building lists. So that was a few years ago, and I'm sure that's only increased. So what I would recommend is, if you can, outsource to an offshore provider or consultant or something of that nature, like a VA, a virtual assistant, that can put that list together. They can maybe run some tools on their end to validate, verify email addresses, etc., and then they can send that list back to you, so that, you know, you're not spending that valuable time trying to put that list together.
Totally. And I think now there are, of course, enough tools like Zero Bounce, you know, where you can upload a list of all the contacts, all the email addresses, and they will simply tell you which one are valid or which one are supposed to land in the spam or not even valid anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, if you're phone heavy opposed to email or social, what I would also do is send that list over to Phone Ready Leads, which is in the US. A good friend of mine, Ryan Reiser, runs that company. And he has a process where he can verify and validate who picks up the phone and who doesn't, so that, you know, now you're not spending time and effort on folks that don't pick up the phone.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. I thought he was with another company. I might be mistaken.
Yeah, he's doing a few different things, but that's one of the things that he's doing.
Pretty cool. All right. So you have got your data sorted, right? Now it's time for you to, let's say, create, you know, cadences or sequences or whatever we might want to call it in the fancy language. For everyone who does not understand cadence are simply steps in order for you to complete a particular task or in order to reach your goal, which is in turn book a meeting. There are different tools. We don't want to get into the tools who, you know, providing cadences or sequence ability. We're assuming you already have one tool. So let's talk about let's talk about the cadences. Well, what's your secret sauce of creating the perfect cadence?
Yeah. So my cadence is always kind of evolving a little bit, but I have a little extensive cadence, and I think it might need to be shortened a little bit. But right now it's a 21 step cadence over the course of a 30 day period. Mm-hmm. That includes email, LinkedIn, email, phone, and video.
Nice.
So those are the steps within the cadence. And now you can mix this up, obviously, depending on how you want to do it. But for me, what I like to do is connect first on LinkedIn, try and you know, get a little recognition there and enter a little trust on LinkedIn, so the person kind of knows who I am. Follow that up with an email, and then hit them with a phone call. And then usually video is more like towards the end of the sequence, just kind of like a last attempt type effort of just want to put a face to the name. Been trying to connect with you for a few times now, and if this is a, you know, becomes a priority for you, or you want to learn more, something along those lines, mm-hmm. feel free to reach out. So it's, you know, it's just kind of giving the person, trying to connect on a human level with the person. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, you know, constant behind a screen type or behind the phone type interaction. It's okay, here I'm actually an actual person, and if you want to get to know more, let's have a chat.
Got it. I think, okay, so far I'm with you. 30 days, about 21 steps, mix of LinkedIn calls, emails, everything. I like your idea of how you start with LinkedIn. That's a great approach. I think, again, I'm gonna get into the shoes of someone who is probably doing this for the first time.
Yeah.
While I understand you're doing 21 steps in 30 days, I don't know how well your steps are, spaced. At the same time, I do not know if you're following a science behind it, or is that something which is, let's say, based on your previous numbers or previous sequences which you have ran. How does somebody, you know, go about spacing these steps so that it does not come across something very pushy, but at the same time, very effective?
Yeah, exactly. So you don't want it to come across as obnoxious, right? Like bombarding the prospect. So that's why you spread it over the 30 days. And usually it's like every other to every third day you're sending you're reaching mm-hmm. out. So, you know, you're giving them some time to, in between, to absorb the message that you've sent them. Mm-hmm. But then you're also staying relevant and top of mind with them, because by that third attempt, hopefully, mm-hmm. okay, they've seen you on LinkedIn, they've received an email, now you're reaching out to them on the phone, they're either going to answer the phone, or you can leave a voicemail that directs them back to the email that you sent or the message that you sent on LinkedIn. So those are really the steps. As for like any kind of methodology or science, it's not really, it's just more really what has worked for me in the past. And that's what I've been using.
Okay. Any particular mistake which you realize, let's say after prospecting for a number of years, that, hey, you know what, had I known this at the beginning of my career, that would have definitely, you know, saved me some time or money.
Yeah. So with email can be a useful tool, but it can also be a challenge because everyone's inundated with so many messages throughout right. the day. So figuring out how you can really crack that nut with a prospect to get in front of them with an email, if that's your preferred channel,
right.
figuring that out can help you go a long way, because now it's giving you, like, if let's say it's a busy prospect, which everyone is busy, mm-hmm. you send them an email, they're in the middle of a meeting, they might glance at the email, and because it's so compelling, they're either replying then or at the end of the meeting or at the end of the day, whatever. So really understanding how you can craft a compelling email that's short and to the point.
Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. So let's say we have our sequence ready. We have our data set. So we push all the contacts, let's say 100 or whatever the number is, into the sequences. Yep. When do you, so one of the things which I have realized, a lot of people, you know, come to me for this, that, hey, I have been running sequence for, let's say, 7 days, 10 days, 15 days. My boss is asking me for results. I don't have any results to show, which can happen a lot of times, right? Yeah. No matter how good your sequence is, you might not get the result immediately. So what is the sweet spot where you might say, hey, if you don't see the results by this, where you don't get a reply over a meeting, this might be the time to change the sequence. And if you think, you know, that's still not the time, that's fine. So I want to hear your views on that.
Yeah. So I forgot to include in my sequence, mm-hmm. in my cadence, and this will tie into your question here with the, mm-hmm. with the metrics in terms of like when to pivot. So I, with all my sequences in my cadence, I build it, I include outcomes to prioritize who to contact and when to reach out. So there's four outcomes that I use, and that's yes, no, not me, not now. So based on those outcomes, I know based on my sequence, okay, how many yeses am I getting? How many no's am I getting? Not now, not me, and not nows. Mm-hmm. So based off of that data, I can then determine, is my sequence effective? Is it hitting the mark? Or do I need to make a change? So if I'm getting a lot of no's, that's telling me a couple of things. It's telling me I'm either getting in front of the wrong people, or the messaging isn't resonating, or I need to find a different channel. You know, maybe I've been using the phone and no one's picking up, or I've been sending a lot of emails, no one's responding. So I might need to figure out a different channel. You know, and then you got the not nows. Mm-hmm. You know, that's okay. That's a timing issue. Well, timing's kind of a hard one to figure out, right? And then the not me, those ones, like, okay, you know, how many of those are we getting? Because then that tells us again, do we need to adjust the target? Do we need to readjust who are we trying to get in front of? So usually you can determine that information and gather that those data points by probably about the 15 of the middle of the month. So that'd be like halfway through the sequence.
Got it. Okay, fair enough. So if somebody, let's say, doing a 20-day sequence, you're saying that mark would be somewhere around 10. So it's still the
50. Yeah, exactly. So like maybe this person doesn't feel that they need a 21-step sequence over 30 days, then yeah, just take your number of steps and cut it in half, basically.
Right. So at the other time, you know, I want to also touch upon one important fact. So let's say somebody who's building the team for the first time and, you know, they don't have a lot of SDRs and they might or might not have the bandwidth to, let's say, include calls, right? So they might just be relying. At the same time, there are a lot of industries who do not appreciate calls, and, you know, a lot of meetings could also be booked on emails, right? So in that case, would you have a preference? Let's say, while I understand the multi-channel approach is always healthy, but let's say, given the situations where you don't have a lot of bandwidth, if you were to consult somebody, would you recommend running just an email-only sequence?
Yeah, if they don't have a ton of bandwidth, I would probably recommend an email sequence. And even though I'm not a fan of like a lot of automation, you can automate the email sequence. So just make sure that you've got it set up correctly so that you're not spamming prospects and that you're not sending multiple prospects the same email over and over type thing. Like, but you can set up in your sequencer, let's say a four stage email sequence and basically set it and forget it, right? So that with your calendar link and phone number and every, like all that stuff, so that you can just schedule it to go out at a certain day and time and then just monitor the responses and those outcomes.
Got it. Okay. So we got the data set, we put them into cadence, we have fired everything. Now, I think now would be the time when we talk about how do we go about tracking the performance and eventually making those small changes, like maybe coaching the BDRs, or maybe tweaking the sequence on our own.
Yeah, for me, like I've never been a big fan of, you know, let's measure the activity, like in terms of how many calls are you making, how many emails are going out. For me, it's following those outcomes. So how many yeses are we getting? Right. Because those yeses, those are leading to either a nurture sequence, right? Like that's someone saying, I want more information, or it's leading to a book meeting. How many no's are we getting? How many not me's are we getting? How many not now's are we getting?
Right.
And based on that data, then you can start to coach. And because if you're not getting enough of any of those outcomes, well, then you know there's a performance problem. There's, you know, someone's not doing any activity. But if you're getting a lot of one or the other outcomes, then okay, what's triggering those outcomes? Mm-hmm. And what do we need to adjust? Is it messaging? Is it the target? Is it the timing? Is it you know, maybe we're not making enough calls and we need to make more calls. Maybe we're not sending enough emails. We need to send more. So there's a lot of things that you can dig into by measuring those number of outcomes.
Fair enough. I think, that seems like a good approach to go about. I do have like a counter question to that. One is, See, we could be either result oriented, where we say, hey, this is the target we're running, going after, which could be, let's say, I don't know, 10 or 15 meetings a month, as long as VDRs are, you know, kind of meeting that. I don't see that there's a need. However, when they don't meet the quota, let's say there's a weekly target, like everybody has set, two BDRs, three BDRs are at two meetings each or three meetings each, one of the BDRs is at zero. Do you see that there might be, how would you, for example, go about finding what's going wrong? I mean, at that time, that would be the time when you would be looking at the daily activities, right? Whether they're doing their daily activities or not.
Yeah, like why is this rep at zero when these two reps are generating meetings, right? Whether it's close to quota, above quota, what have you. So why is that? Digging into the why. Okay, let's take a look at their activity, like in the sequencer and in the dialer, etc. Okay, you haven't sent any emails this week. You haven't made any calls this week. You haven't connected with anyone on LinkedIn. So why is that? Like, is it a confidence issue? Is it you're not engaged? Why? Right. So figuring out what the why is, and then from there, putting in place a plan to address those whys.
Got it. I think that sounds like something. Yeah, I've done in the past. At the same time, I've seen other leaders kind of following the same approach. So totally with you.
Because there could be something totally unrelated, right? Like maybe there's a personal issue that has this rep distracted. So just, you know, being genuine and finding out, okay, what's going on? Like, why don't be not with like an authoritative approach, but like, you know, hey, I noticed that this week you have a low activity, number of activities. Is there something going on? You know, how can I help you? What, like, just figuring out what it is, and then from there, putting a plan in place to help them.
Yeah.
Get back on track.
I think one other thing which I personally do is if I'm dealing with an experienced SDR, I would of course want to understand what is their plan of meeting the quota, as long as they have in their mind that, hey, these are the number of calls, or this is, for example, I'm planning to send 500 emails on this much open rate. I'm expecting this much reply rate, and so on and so on. Similarly, goes for the calls and the other, other LinkedIn or, you know, other social media outreaches. If they have a clear plan, then you can always check with them after a week or so, just to understand whether they were able to fulfill that plan. If not, you can always hold them accountable. And, hey, this is what we agreed upon. Seems like you kind of missed it. So I would want you to, you know, pull up in the next week. I think weekly numbers is something I have always preferred, being a coach. And I think it kind of has worked for me, because that's how you can always make other people accountable as well. Make sure there's a good plan in case for them to bounce back.
And I think you hit on a good point there too, right? It depends on the experience level of the rep. Is this someone that's new to the team? You know, maybe they need a little more training on the messaging, on the delivery, on the value prop, etc. If it's someone that's been with the team for a while and it's just an overall performance issue, then yeah, I think, okay, what's your plan? How are you going to get this back on track? And then hold them accountable. You know, okay, we've got a plan in place, now go do it. And if not, then, you know, why aren't you holding up to your end of the deal?
Totally, yeah. This was super helpful, Martin, and I'm pretty sure anybody who watches this will get a lot of insight, at least a framework, and later we can always deep dive into other aspects. And I think I would want to definitely deep dive into another aspect, like more about emails, and probably another episode with you. For now, I do have a rapid fire with you. If you're ready, let me know. I'll probably fire a few questions.
Yeah, let's go.
Sales engagement automation systems are critical for any sales organization to achieve that excellence. But at the same time, it is a complex, tedious, and expensive process for any sales organization to implement it. Sometimes it can end in a failure too, and you have to start all over again. To fix this problem, Playbook.ai, our current sponsor, has introduced a program for SaaS and enterprise technology startups called the Sales Excellence Program. It is the most effective, fastest, and risk-free way to deploy a sales engagement automation system in your organization to drive that growth and drive revenue excellence. None of the top sales engagement platforms give you a free trial, at least most of them. But in the Sales Excellence Program, Playbook.ai customer success team not only gives you the free and unlimited access to all the features for 6 weeks, they also do the heavy lifting of implementing a sales engagement system and provide you with advice on what best practices you should follow when creating your sales playbook. To join the Sales Excellence Program, all you have to do is visit playbook.ai/SEP, Sales Engagement Platform, SEP, and type R, followed by my last name, WADHWA, when the request invitation form asks you for the name of the accelerator. All right, awesome. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Your dream vacation?
Dream vacation is Italy.
Awesome. I always wanted to go. Thing you like most about LinkedIn?
The number of interesting conversations that I can have on a daily basis.
All righty. Thing you hate most about LinkedIn?
The fact that it's becoming a little more spam.
And Facebook.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. All right. One thing you wish you had known sooner about sales?
That's a good question. Nah, known sooner about sales. Probably how to ask the right question.
Okay. Well, I think, yeah, that's a different answer than I was expecting, but yeah, good one. This was super awesome, Martin. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you know before we go live, and awesome. I'm going to hit you the recordings, and I can count on you to share that as well.
You betcha. Yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, man. Have a good one, and take care of your health, man.
Cheers.
Bye. You've been listening to the Sales Spin Podcast, the only sales podcast from India that focuses on helping people get into sales and help the ones who are already in sales reach to the next level.